On that note, we're going to be in Judges chapter 2, and you're going to see just how that really ties in to our passage this morning. No, this afternoon. So, today, I need to get used to that. Today, this day on the calendar, all right? Okay, if you found your place in Judges chapter 2, if you don't mind to stand. And in the bulletin, I put until verse 14, chapter 2, verses 6 through 14, but really it's 6 through 15. That's what I meant. I'm sure you knew what I meant, of course. But we're going to read Judges chapter 2, and we'll start at verse number 6. Most everyone's there. If you're not, we're going to get started. Chapter 2. I don't throw you off right there. Chapter 2, verse 6. The Bible says this. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And we're going to tell you that's a very significant phrase, and it means something specific. We'll deal with that in the course of preaching. But verse 7. And the people served the Lord. That's a blessing. But here's where it starts to get south. All the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died. Remember whenever they said that they only served the Lord during the days of Joshua? Well, right here, the days of Joshua are coming to an end. Being 110 years old, that's a good life. Verse 9. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Verses 11 through 15 are some of the most sad verses and all of Judges, and maybe all of Scripture. This is one of the saddest things to me to see happen. Verse 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. By the way, in spite of all he's done, they decided to go ahead and forsake him. Didn't go well for them. Verse 12. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them. I think our society has an effect on our young people, and the gods around us have quite the pull on them. And these young people grew up and decided to serve the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. The Lord does get angry. Not like us, but he does get angry. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Verse 15, whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil. And as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Greatly distressed. This is the life of someone who doesn't know the Lord well. The sad description. We're going to spend some time on it. But really what we need to decide, and we'll get to this, is how did that happen? How did that happen? We don't want that to happen. How does that happen? Well, it's very clear in the passage. We'll explain that. First, let's pray. We'll get right into our message. God, thank you for your goodness to us. Truly, we do thank you for all you've done. And Lord, we do just want to lift our hands and praise you for that. We want to serve you with our life because of your goodness to us. Lord, we know what we deserve. And not only have you spared us from that, but you've done more than we could have ever asked for. Help us to recognize that, even as the children of Israel did not. And then from our love and thankfulness to you, serve you with our life. Help us as we consider this passage this morning, or today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Be seated. All right. Today. Well, we told you that the verse 6 meant something specific. So let's look again at verse 6. It gives us the context of all of this. And it says this, "And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance to possess the land." Now, what is that? That's a very significant phrase. And so before we consider what's happening here in Judges 2, hold your spot there, and let's go back to Joshua 24, please. Go back to Joshua 24. We're going to spend some time there. Just a page over, probably, maybe a couple pages. Joshua chapter 24. Now, here's what you need to know about the book of Joshua. It's a book of victory. It's an awesome book. We got done with it, and we went through Joshua. We loved it. All these battles that they won and how God brought victory after victory after victory. A couple of defeats happened along the way, but for the most part, victory. It's a blessing. And why was that? Well, the beginning of Joshua started off like this. The people trusted Joshua. The people followed Joshua as Joshua followed God. And so what we had is the leadership following God, faith, hearing what God said, and doing it. And the people, by faith, followed what Joshua said as long as he was saying what God said. Right? Faith. And faith brought victory after victory after victory. And they took the land, they possessed the land, divided the land. And Joshua is getting close to the end of his life, and he wants to give them this charge. And he gives them the charge, but then if you look at verse 28, "So Joshua let the people depart." You see that? "Every man unto his inheritance." Now, super quick, if you look again at Judges 2:6, "And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went, every man whose inheritance possessed the land." So the book of Judges right here is referencing this. This is right after Joshua gives this charge. So what did Joshua say in the charge? Well, here's what's going on. This is the end of Joshua's life. He wants to tell Israel something, and here's what he wanted to warn them. He wanted to warn them that they needed to choose to follow God. They needed to choose to serve God in sincerity and in truth. Look at verse 14. "Now therefore, fear the Lord." Now pause. When he says therefore, what is that talking about? Well, all the verses before that, he recounted everything the Lord had done. God did all this. He brought you out of Egypt. He brought you through the wilderness. He brought you into the promised land. He conquered your enemies. He divided the land. You're living in a place that you didn't even build. You're living in cities you didn't build and houses you didn't build. You're eating from vineyards you didn't plant. God has blessed you, Israel. And because God has been too good to you, here's what you should do, therefore. Fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt serve ye the Lord." Excuse me. And so here's what's happening. Joshua is still in leadership. Joshua, under his leadership, has not allowed the service to false gods, but he knew they had them. They were serving these false gods in their houses, and they were trying to hide them from Joshua. Joshua knew it. "By the way, youth, we can see how you're acting. We know what's going on more than you think we know what's going on. And so does everybody else. You're not hiding anything. When you decide to go your own way and forsake God and try to live life on your own, it's distinct. We can see it. Something happens to your eyes. Something happens to your shoulders. And we can just tell. And you're not as smart as you think you are." So what I'm saying is Joshua saw them and he knows. "You're telling me you're serving God, but you have idols in your life. And I'm going to die, soon, and I'm concerned that when I pass on the scene, you're just going to get those things out of your house and you're just going to serve them. Don't do it. This is his charge. Don't do it. It's not worth it. Get rid of the idols. Serve him in sincerity and truth. Hey, you're pretending like you serve God. How about instead of just, you're not being honest. How about instead of just being honest and serve the false gods, how about you just be the person you're acting like you are? Be the person you're telling me you are. And serve God with your heart, with sincerity, with truth. Be the same person you are in your house that you are in the temple or tabernacle, right? And young people and adults, be the same person you are at home that you are at church. Sincerity and truth. Don't live double lives. You got to choose one. And I hope you choose God, is basically what he's telling them. And of course, they say, oh, yeah, we will. We will. Look at verse 15. I already said this, but he says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, he said, hey, if you really think that serving God is not as good for you, go ahead and serve the false gods. But you've seen how life is when you follow God. So choose whether you will serve the gods of your fathers on the side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites. But he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hey, Joshua could not make them serve God. All Joshua can do is beg them to serve God and to be an example before them. And so Joshua was begging them, don't give in to those idols. Get rid of those idols. Don't even play with those idols. And as for me and my house, we are serving God. That's what he said. And so verse 16, and the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. Joshua, we wouldn't do that. Silly. Joshua could sense that they weren't being honest. Verse 20, if ye forsake the Lord. Okay, you're not gonna do it, okay? But if you do, right? And serve those strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt. You're telling me God hurts people? If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt. Yes, I am telling you that God brings pain into people's life when they forsake him. And the reason he does that is because of his grace. Because he'll bring pain into your life, hoping to get you to get out of the false idol land, but eventually you forsake him, you forsake him, you forsake him long enough, he'll just let you have your own way, and that hurts way more than the hurt that he brought. But he will bring you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And they said again, verse 21, and the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And then he says, I love this, what Joshua does here. He goes and makes it clear. Verse 22. Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. You say you'll serve him. That is awesome. We are witnesses. And then they said, and again, Joshua said, then verse 23. Now therefore, put away, he said, the strange gods. He said, okay, you're going to serve the Lord. Great. Get rid of the false gods. We don't even have them. Get rid of them, right? He knows. He sees it. Get rid of them. And you're here today, and I'm saying, hey, serving God is the only way. Serving God is the best life. If you forsake him and serve false gods, it's going to only bring you hurt. And you sit here and you say, oh, yeah, I'll serve God. I'm scared to ask for hands raised. But then, okay, so then get rid of the false gods. So then get rid of the false gods. And again, verse 25, they told Joshua. Oh, wait, I'm getting all messed up here. Verse 24. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. Joshua, we will do it. I believe you, he says. I believe you, for sure. Let's write it down. Remember that? We've preached this already, but it's too good not to re-preach. I totally believe you, of course. Let's write it down. It's kind of like when you go get a loan at the bank. and the bank, and you say, "Bank, I need $50,000, and I'll pay it back. I will." And the bank, you know, they sit next to you in their little couch, and they put their arm around you, like, "I love you. We're friends. I believe it. You're great. You'll pay us back. But let's write it down." And they do, and they write it down on a stone, and say, "This stone will be witness to you that if you forsake God, you will deny His help in your life. You will deny everything He's done for you in your life. And not only that, but it will bring you hurt." And it's like this. Joshua's just begging them, "Don't do it. Don't forsake the Lord." Okay. And then he let him go. And it's all he can do. He can't make him do anything. But he said his peace, didn't he? And he let them go, and they all went. And that's where we pick up in our passage. If we go back to Judges chapter 2. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man to his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. So Joshua still being alive, they continued to do what they told Joshua they would do. And all the elders, we already read it, they would serve God as long as they're alive. At verse 8, Joshua dies. Verse 9, they bury him. Verse 10, the rest of that generation dies. And in verse 11, beginning of the middle of verse 10, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And then it's those verses. Look at those verses. Here's what happens. Hey, if you do it, everything Joshua told them would happen began to take place. 11, children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. It's almost like immediately they're gone. Get the idols out, boys. You know, the ones that we told Joshua we didn't have in our life. You know, the ones that Joshua kept saying to get out of our life. We fooled him. Okay, no you didn't. Get them out. And they begin to serve these false gods. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers. I tend to believe that as they had these false gods, they really thought that they can go ahead and serve these false gods and serve God too. But Joshua made it very clear. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't serve the gods of this world and the God Jehovah. If you're going to serve God, if you're going to expect the blessings of God in your life, you're going to live that victorious life that they've lived for all of those years. Here's what they did to have that life. They forsook the false idols. And if you want that life that God wants for you, you're going to have to get rid of the idols. But at first, before they forsook the Lord, they served those idols. And I really think they thought, "Joshua doesn't know what he's talking about. I can do this. I can keep this little idol. This is nothing. Who cares? I know God doesn't like it, but I'm still doing everything else He wants me to do. We can do both." No, He can't. What did Jesus say? "Whosoever shall keep his life will lose it." Whosoever will keep the life that they want and serve those idols and think the way they want to think and act the way they want to act and talk the way they want to talk and do the things they want to do, if they will hold on to that life, they cannot have the life I have for them, Jesus said. This is thousands and thousands of years later. God does not change. This is how God is. God is a jealous God. God does not share His throne. You need to get off the throne, and then He'll get on the throne. But Jesus said, if you hold on to that life, you're going to lose the life God has for you. But then he says, whosoever will lose his life, find it. And this life is what you're really wanting. This is the victorious life that you say you want so bad. You want them? Good. Get rid of the idols. But if you hold on to those idols, you can't do both. You hold on to that way of thinking, you can't do both. You keep watching that thing, that movie, that whatever, and you expect God to continue, even though you know God doesn't want you to, can't do both. You keep that relationship you know God doesn't want you to have. Sorry, but you can't have the life God has for you either. You can't do both. You know what God wants you to do. You refuse to do it. You can do that. It's just that you can't do that and have the life God has for you. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. Get rid of the idols if you want to serve God. But they didn't. They had their idols. They're pulling. Remember we said this last week? They're pulling that pole that is their life, and they're bending it. They're doing their best to try to go ahead and grab both and live both ways. Nope. And they almost get the life that they have, that they want with God, but it doesn't work. And they can't pull hard enough. They got to let go if they want here. And I'm telling you, if you do that for long enough and you pull for long enough, it will launch you like a grenade that way. And you will fall deep into, what does the last word of verse 15 say? Distress. That's where this is headed. Distress. And so they held onto the idols, and it wasn't long before they just totally forsook the Lord. And then we're reminded, again, who did they forsake? They forsook the Lord. They didn't just forsake a system. They didn't just forsake a religion. They didn't just forsake church. They forsook God. The God who brought them out of Egypt. The God who did so much for them. They forsook Him. Hey, when you walk away, you're not just walking away from a church family, even though that stinks. You're not just walking away from a system of living. You're walking away from God Himself, the one who has given you all these things. And they forsook Him, the one who brought them out of the land and followed other gods. The gods around about them bowed themselves, and that provoked the Lord to anger. And you cannot pretend like you can just forsake God and He's just going to be like, no problem. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He delivered them into the hands of their spoilers and spoiled them, and He sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so they could not any longer stand before their enemies. And at first, maybe it seemed like they got everything they wanted, but it didn't take long before that fell apart, and that fell apart, and that fell apart. They were taken into bondage, and they lost everything they had. And then we get to verse 15. Whithersoever they went out, everything they did, the hand of God was against them. As the Lord had said, and the Lord had sworn unto them, they were greatly distressed. Now, that's a hard life. And we're not going to spend too much time on that today, because really that's what the rest of Judges is about. And I just want to spare you a little bit of that. But what we're going to see is story after story of destroyed and distressed lives because they forsook the Lord and forsook the Lord and forsook the Lord. Here's what I want to deal with, and we'll be done soon. I want to know this right here, because this is kind of a foreshadowing of everything that's going to happen. How did Israel get there? Go to verse 10. Here's where it all stems. Everything we learned, the anger of the Lord, the distress they went through, the spoilers that came, all of it. They couldn't win any battles, the bondage, all of the destruction that came in their life, it all stems from verse 10 in the middle. And there rose another generation after them, which, here it is, knew not the Lord. Knew not the Lord. No, they were following their parents, but when their parents left, their parents knew the Lord, but they didn't. Now, that's the issue. And before we get about how that happened, this is everything. Knowing God. He's a person. He's real. He's holy. And He's righteous. And He's just. But He's also loving and compassionate and full of mercy and good. He's real. He wants relationship with you. And what we, this whole thing, the reason you were created is to know the Lord. It's your purpose. And just like anything, when something fails to accomplish its purpose, It's what we call broken. And you're broken if you're not serving the Lord, if you don't know Him. And you're trying to figure out why you're broken, and you point to all these reasons. Oh, it's because this happened, or it's because I had this financial thing come up, or it's because this. And it almost seems like everything I do, something's against it. Well, there is something against it. God, His hand, is against your life. And you could blame whoever you want, but in the end, it's a result of you not knowing the Lord. And listen, not knowing the Lord is more devastating than anything He is allowing in your life. And He will, in His grace, put His hand against your life and make sure nothing works out so that you see that you need to turn back to Him. He does that because of grace, because He loves you. But all of it comes from this, not knowing the Lord. So what I want to know is, why didn't they know the Lord? Their dad did. Joshua, their fathers did. So if you look at verse 10 where it says, knew not the Lord, that word know, I did some studies and I tried to figure it out. And that word know has been translated a lot of ways. And there's really two ways, there's two main ways that word can be translated. That to know, like that. It's either active or passive. Meaning this. They knew not the Lord means that they never were taught who He was. You see? They knew not because no one told them. But then there's also a passive that they chose. No, active. That they chose not to serve, to know the Lord. Are you following this? So why are you saying that? Okay, if one generation knows the Lord and the next generation doesn't know the Lord, there's one of two options that have happened. And a lot of times in the scripture, you'll see this. The father knew, the son didn't. And you'll see something to this effect. He didn't pass down the knowledge of God. And something, there was a breakdown where they knew the Lord and they were serving God, but they didn't talk about God at home, and they didn't pass this knowledge of God down to the next generation. And that happens a lot. And that's why, you know, in the law of Moses, so often it says, talk about it at home, and parents, it's your responsibility. Parents, it's your responsibility to teach your children who God is. Not just what God expects and His rule system, but we are who we are, and we go to church every time the doors are open, if we possibly can, and we tithe 10%, and we do all these things, and we love people, and we forgive, and we do all this stuff. And the reason is because of who God is. But oftentimes, we just pass down a list of rules to our kids. And all they see is a list of rules. And they know what God wants from them, but they don't know God. You see? And they get fed up with the rules. Why? Because they don't know who God is, the one who made the rules. That happens. But sometimes, the former generation did try to give the knowledge of God to the next generation. But the next generation actively neglected that knowledge. Proverbs says, acknowledge Him in all thy ways, and He will direct thy path. Acknowledge. Is this the same word know here? It's a choice to acknowledge. It doesn't matter how bad we want. Let's just talk to teenagers because we're here, right? And we're talking about generation. Teenagers in this room, I love you. I want what's best for you. Following God is the only way you're going to be fulfilled. It's the only way you're going to have joy in your life. It's the only way that you're going to find fulfillment. You were made to know Him. God is good. He loves you. He is real. And He deserves that you serve Him with your life. And if you do that, you'll find fulfillment more than you can ever imagine. And I want that for you so bad, but I can't make you. And a generation can do a good job. I contend in this passage that primarily Joshua and his generation did a good job. Did you read verse chapter 24? Joshua was begging them, you need to know God for yourself. This isn't just the law of Moses. This isn't just a list of do's and don'ts. This is God Almighty, the one who's been so good to us. He loves you. Give him your heart. Serve him in sincerity and truth. And then if you go through the book of Joshua, if you were with us in that journey, what did Joshua do over and over? He set up a pillar. And he set up a pile. There's a pile with a dead king under it to show that God gave us deliverance over that dead king under there. And there's a pile of an Israelite who decided to forsake the Lord, and God made us bury him, and there's a pile, and the kids will come by and say, what's with that pile? Well, that pile, that represents a life who rejected God, and it turned out like this. Well, what's this pile? Well, this pile, it represents a time where there was a really powerful king, and he was wiping everybody out, but God took care of him for us, because our God can fight your battles. And these monuments are everywhere, and Joshua is begging and begging, and still the people were like, when are you going to die? Seriously. When am I going to get out of your rule so that I can do what I want? And you know, I get it. I get it. Okay, listen. Most teenagers who graduate out of youth group, doesn't take long before they're gone. And it's a pandemic. It's an epidemic. Not new. It's not like this is different. But we scratch our head and bite our nails and we're like, what are we going to do about this? How can we stop this? And I get it. Some of that, and maybe a lot of that, is because we haven't been living sincerely and true at home. Or we haven't done a good job introducing them to who God is. I think that's a part of that. And I think there are probably people that Joshua told, hey, talk about this at home, who didn't. I think that probably happened. But I'm also convinced that there are a lot of teenagers, a lot of young people, who just want you off my back. And they have every reason. They've seen mom and dad live a life of faith. They've seen mom and dad know God well. Mom and dad have begged them, but they want what they want. And they just cannot wait till they get out on their own and do their own thing because they know better than God. You seeing this? So here's what's helpful for us today. If we're not youth, we need to do a good job of passing God to the next generation. Dustin, you're in the next generation. He's in a bit. And Dustin's 17. He's going to be 18. So this is great. Dustin, this is the book you need. God gave it to us. We can know him. You put faith in this book. Your life, you won't regret it one minute. The best life you can live is to follow this book. And I can do everything I can. And we need to give that to him and to show him the Word of God. And not just rules and like, don't, you know, dress nice and say the right thing and stop being weird and all of that. Why? Because we want you to honor God, who is real. But oftentimes we live just a set of rules to impress everybody. We don't really know God ourselves. How could we expect to get him to love God? And there's a lot of that generation maybe who was just trying to please Joshua and trying to get attaboys and accolades from the man. And not knowing God themselves, that could happen. And so if you're not a youth, that's where we are today. But if you're a teenager, you have two options here. You can accept it. Accept it. Thank you. Good job. You should not be weird. Doing good. Or, and don't hurt my Bible. Just kind of stiff arm. Stiff grip. Dude. Uh-huh. Yeah. No. This happens a lot. And then, you know what happens after that? We'll just let this represent the world. Thanks. And now watch this. Now hold that with two hands. And now try to hold that. It's not going to work. And you can't do both. Listen, and their hands are full of the things of the world, and they're distracted, and they have these little gods in their heart, and we can beg them to put that down and take the Word of God and live the life that God has for you. But and they could do that, and they have all the help they need oftentimes. But I'm convinced that we don't tell our teenagers enough that this is serious, and you need to accept this, because if you reject it, I'm telling you, if you stiff arm God, you cannot do that and expect it's going to go well. Thank you. Both and, isn't it? It's both and. In our world, our teenagers, they're not kids. And they need to take some responsibility for themselves. And they don't want to be treated like kids. They also don't want to stop acting like kids. But you can't ride mom and dad's coattails. You can't ride Brother Chad or Brother Tim or Brother Steve or Josh or Mike. You can't ride their coattail. We won't always be here. But God will always be here. And you need to know God. And I'm telling you, all I can do is beg you. Don't listen to the world. They're fake. They're phony. They're lying to you. It's not what you think. Your heart isn't going to help you. But have faith in the Word of God, and follow Him. You got to fight for you. Got to fight for you. But listen to me. Listen to me well. You reject Him, He'll fight against you. And you can't have your cake and eat it too. Follow God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your Word. Thank you, Lord, for the clarity. Thank you for these young people, God, that have got up here and have outwardly shown that they want to serve you. They've come, they've played piano, they've song led, they sang in youth choir, sang specials, dressed in clothes that honor you and show that they're taking this serious. God, they're doing all the outward stuff, and so encouraging to watch. But God, help them to know you well personally and make you their God. And know you well before they get out in this world and listen to the gods of this world and how compelling they are. Help us. Help them. That clarity. And help us, God, as adults, as the generation before them, to take you seriously. Help us to live lives that are consistent. Help us not to compromise with the world everywhere we go, but to be, as Joshua did, passionate and make a decision that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Help us with that. Do that. Christ, and I pray, amen. Let's stand together. If God has worked in your heart, now's the time to respond.